Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory because you are such a good God. Lord, you are so good to us every single day, Lord. You load us up with benefits, Lord. Glory to God, Lord, and you give us a whole new set of mercies. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us when we're not even aware that you're there for us. Thank you, Lord, for working things out for us. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us. Thank you, Lord, for being our rock, our fortress, our shield, and our buckler, our glory, and the lifter up of our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you. Glory to God. Lord, we know that your presence is here because you said in you know, where two or three are gathered in your name, your presence is there. And Lord, we are more than two and we are more than three. So we welcome your presence, Lord. And Father, we ask, Lord, that the anointing will be on this lesson, Lord, that you have given me, and that it will be a blessing, Lord, to many near and far. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, I am teaching on praying scriptures or praying the word. Praying scriptures or praying the word. This is a continuation from a few weeks back when I taught this. I can't remember if the title was the same, but you know, for those of you who missed it, I encourage you to look it up on Facebook or wherever you are. Now, there's a purpose, you know, why it's important for us to pray scriptures or praying God's word. You know, none of us pray just to pray because, you know, just pray aimlessly. When we pray, there's a purpose and there's a reason why we pray. And we're expecting answers, don't we? We're expecting answers to our prayers. And then, you know, if God doesn't answer our prayers in the time frame that we think he should, we have a tendency to get frustrated, you know, and the enemy comes and he starts putting things in our heads. Oh, you know, well, God isn't going to answer your prayer because you didn't pray hard enough, or maybe you didn't have enough faith. You know how he comes and he tells you all these lies, or there's some sin in your life that you didn't repent about. That's why God isn't answering. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And we don't realize that it's the enemy talking to us. We think, we're thinking these thoughts are our thoughts, but they're not, they're his. You know, and we don't have to take them. You know, he's subtle, he's really subtle, and he's skilled in making us think that his thoughts are our thoughts. But you know how we can know that they're not our thoughts? Because we, as God's children, we have the mind of Christ. And if the word that we are hearing does not line up with the word of God, you know, God doesn't contradict his word. And if what we are hearing or what we're feeling does not line up with God's word, then it's not God speaking to us. It's the enemy. And, you know, we just need to, you know, to give him the boot, tell him where to go. Because, you know, if we don't, then we become frustrated. You know, we get antsy, kind of. And you know, I know that I get frustrated sometimes, you know, when I pray about certain things, especially if I believe it's something really important, you know, and I have to have an answer now, and I'm looking and I'm waiting and nothing is happening. I used to get really frustrated. I still get a little bit frustrated. I'm still working on that. But, you know, I've grown a lot, and so I don't get as frustrated as I used to be, because I know now I have a lot more confidence in God's word. I know that I can depend upon him more than I used to know. You know, as you grow and you experience things, your confidence grows, okay? And so we don't have to listen to the enemy. When we pray, we have to have confidence in God's word. We have to know that he'll hear us. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. This is the New International Version. And his ears are attentive to their cry or to our cry. You know, God is not sleeping. God never sleeps or slumbers. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't get tired, you know, and say, let me take a five. You know, and, you know, when we pray, the word says that his ears are open to us. His ears are open. That alone should make us shout. But, you know, Satan will try to discourage us because he doesn't want us to pray. You know, he's afraid of our prayers. You know, prayer is a weapon. It's a tool that we can use to defeat the enemy, defeat his schemes and his plans and his purposes. So if he can discourage us and you know, get us to give up praying, that's what he wants. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We should pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that, you know, that we go 24/7 in a closet somewhere on our knees praying. That's not what it means. It means that as we go about our daily life, you know, we pray. You know, we don't have to be in one posture to pray. Right. That is not true. Right. You know, I do a lot of praying in my car. You know, when it's just me alone, don't have no kids to transport nowhere, praise God. You know, so it's just me and God, and I can talk to him. I can let it all hang out. Because he knows what I'm thinking anyway. So we may as well be honest. You know, God loves honesty. You can pray in the shower. You can pray, you know, when you're doing your work, when you're washing, you know. I can sit down sometimes, I'm watching TV and I'm praying. It's amazing how you can do that. So, you know, pray without ceasing. The King James Bible, Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. This is Jesus speaking. Men ought what? Always to pray and not faint. You see, the word faint there means not give up. Mm-hmm. Don't get discouraged. That's what the enemy tries to do. Tries to tell us, oh, our prayers aren't even reaching the ceiling. Because he's afraid of our prayers. He knows that our prayers can cripple him, can handicap him, can, you know, knock down his plans and his schemes and everything that he has, you know, to work against us. So, you know, God is encouraging us, the Word of God is encouraging us to always pray. Not pray periodically, not pray, you know, when times are tough. You know, sadly, that's how it is with some of us. You know, and everything is nice and hunky-dory. We don't know God. We use him like a spare tire, I usually say. You know, when you get a flat, you pull out the spare and you put it in, and then when you don't no longer need the spare, you put it back. You know, that it's sad. That's how, you know, God's children treat them sometimes. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't treat us that way?
Amen.
So we shouldn't wait until hard times are in us. When we find ourselves in a bind to pray, we have to pray all the time. We have to be constantly praying, constantly talking to God. You know, what we're doing, we're developing a relationship, you know, with God. When we talk to him, you know, he speaks back. And it's amazing how he speaks back. You know, it seems like Tuete is one of God's favorite places to speak to me. You know, sometimes when, you know, I'm querying something and I don't know about a particular situation, I don't know where to go, how to maneuver or stuff, and I'm driving down Tuete and bam, I get the answer. So there must be something about Tuete. But this, you know, the Word of God says that we ought always to pray and not faint, okay? Now, he wouldn't tell us that if he didn't want us to pray. That doesn't make any sense, does it? He wants to hear from us. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. And prayer is the key that we can connect to God with. It's a key. It's a key. Jesus prayed. The Son of God prayed. He's our perfect example. If he prayed, why shouldn't we pray? So, you know, we have to find that key. We have to find the correct key when we're praying. And, you know, if we're going to pray successfully, we have to find the right key. Now, and in something that happened several years ago that I totally forgotten about, and the Holy Spirit brought it back to mind when I was preparing this lesson. So you guys know that I had a Prius, a blue Prius. And for some reason, I would always mix up my Prius with Ish and Bunny's car. And so this one day, church was out and I was going to leave. And so I went out there, and I'm clicking, and the door wouldn't open. And I'm like, what's the matter with this door? Come on, open up. And not saying, when I pull on it, door locked. And I was really frustrated because I thought, well, maybe the battery in my, the key is dead or something, or there's some mechanical failure, something, electrical thing going on. So Ish comes out and Ish said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm trying to open my car, but he wouldn't work." And Ish says, "You're at the wrong car." Why did I feel stupid? I suddenly, my eyes open up and I'm like, oops. I'm trying to open their car with my key, and it wouldn't work. Uh-huh. There was an object lesson in it at the time, but I did not realize it until now. I was using the wrong key to open the door. Uh-huh. Well, I was at the wrong door, period. So it wasn't going to work, But, if we take our house keys and we try to open your mailbox or our car, SUV, whatever, it's not going to work because that key was not designed for that purpose. And, so it is with praying. We have, God's children have to learn, and I'm not saying that I'm there yet, but I am much further along than I used to be, We have to find the right key to pray over the situation that we're facing. If we need provision, we need to find scriptures that speaks about God's provision. If we need healing, we need to find scriptures that speaks on healing. We can't take healing scriptures and pray over provision. And vice versa, it's not going to work. If we need guidance or we need wisdom, we need to find scriptures that pertain to that particular situation and pray it back to God. Now, it's a lot easier for us now because we have Google. Back in the days, of Kenneth Hagin and them, they didn't have Google. They had to really, search the scriptures. And, it's a good thing, and it, sometimes I think it's not so good because we get lazy. And, we don't search like we should. We just Google it. Hey, Google, you pull up some scriptures on healing, and bam, just like there, there's a bunch of scriptures. Whereas, if we would turn the pages of the Bible, we would really see some stuff that we'd miss. So, when we find the right key, the right prayer key, that's how we pray God's word back to him. We pray it back to him. Now, God may not answer immediately. I think it was Natasha and I were talking, and I was telling her, when I pray about something, I like it like now, like yesterday, last week, But, God's timing is not our timing. Just, I wish it was, but it isn't, because he works in his own timing, and we have to be patient. We have to be willing to be patient and wait, and that's our problem. We don't like to wait. Isaiah 43:26 says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou may be justified." This is the King James Version. I'm going to read a couple other versions. The New King James Version says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case. State your case that you may be acquitted." Isn't that not nice? State your case. God wants us to state our case. He just doesn't want us to go not knowing anything. He wants us to state our case. The American Standard says, let us plead together that set thou for thy cause, that thou mayest be justified. The Berean Study Bible says, remind me, let us argue the matter together. State your case again. State your case, that you may be vindicated. You know, the word says that the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren. He's always accusing us of something. You know, he's always nitpicking, finding fault, going, you know, I'm telling you, I heard Jerry Savelle said one day that that when that day comes, when Satan gets tossed in hell, that he has asked God to let him have a front row seat so he could give him one kick. And I was like, yeah, I'll be right there with you. I'll give him more than one. Because he's always accusing us, you know? And God is saying, state our case. Now, how are we going to state our case? Through the word, through what his word says about us. The Douay Rheims Bible says, I'm probably not pronouncing that properly. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Tell if you have anything to justify yourself. Isn't God wonderful? He wants to hear from us. He wants us to speak to him. You know, he's not an unjust judge. You know, he'll give us an opportunity, give us a chance to state our case. And so I came across this article from Joel Osteen, and he put it this way. It's not that God forgets his word. You know, God does not have amnesia, like some of us do. He does not forget his word. He already knows what he said. God knows what he said. But he wants to make sure that we remember what he said. Because, you know, there's something about speaking what God says. There's something about putting it out into the atmosphere. You know, there's power when it leaves our mouth and it goes into the atmosphere. There's a lot of power there. So, you know, he wants to hear it. Tell me, what did I say? Continuing what Joel Osteen says. So when we go to God with his word, it builds our faith. There's something about hearing ourselves say God's word. I heard a preacher said that when, you know, he recommends when we read the Bible that we read it out loud, because there's something about hearing our own voice speaking God's word, you know. It builds our faith when we speak his word out. It shows that we are standing on his promises. That used to be an old song, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. It shows that we are obedient because we love him and believe he has our very best interests at heart. And that's what pleases God. It pleases him to know that his children knows his word. It pleases him to hear his children speak his word back to him. You know, we have to be like kids sometimes. You know, kids, you make them a promise, and boy, they don't forget. They might forget that you tell them to pick up this toy and put it in the toy box or clean their room. Then, you know, they don't remember anything like that. But you make a promise. Mom, you said, you know, my dad, you said. It's amazing how they can remember what we say. So I learned real quick. You know, I made a lot of mistakes with Petal and Michael. You know, those were mostly Petal because she was the oldest one. When Michael came along, I'd gotten a little better. But I tell you, by the time Matthew came along, I knew not to promise him anything that I was sure about, because he was going to make sure and remind me what I said. You know, and then they give you this look. You said, you know, and they make you feel bad. But, God says that to speak his word back to him. And that's how we pray. We use God's word. We pray back in prayer. Not that, like, you know, I said, he needs reminding, but he wants to hear it. He wants to hear us say it. He wants to know that we know what he said. so that we're not shooting prayers, you know, in the dark. No, sometimes when we pray, that's what we do. We shoot out the prayer and we hope it hits bullseye.
That's right.
No. We're supposed to pray with purpose.
That's right.
Pray with confidence. Mm-hmm. Pray knowing. Mm-hmm. You know that I know that I know that God is going to hear me because of what His Word says. He's faithful. God is faithful to His Word, and He keeps His promises. When we remind Him of what He said, He will honor His Word. You know, God is a promise keeper. He's a covenant keeper. Isaiah 55:10, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when we pray God's word, we can easily say, Father, I thank you for keeping your word. Thank you for keeping your promises based on Isaiah 55:10. You said that your word will not return void, but it shall accomplish the thing that you please and prosper me where you send it. So, Lord, this is your word. Your word says that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And, Father, you see this need. You see this need that I have. And I am presenting this need to you, and I am trusting you because you're faithful to your word. You keep your promises. You know, that's praying the word. That's, you know, one way that we can do it. The Benton Septuagint translation, I mean, it's like all these translations with these strange words were jumping out at me. So shall my words be. Whatever shall proceed out of my mouth, it shall by no means turn back until all the things which I will shall have been accomplished. And I will make thy way prosperous and will effect my commands. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. The New American Standard. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall do what pleases me. God's word will do what pleases God, achieving the end for which I sent it. You know, God's word has a purpose. And when we speak that word, it will accomplish the task for which it was meant. The NET Bible. In the same way, the promise that I make does not return to me, having accomplished nothing. No, it is realized as I desire and is fulfilled as I intend. God's word has an intent. It has a purpose. And it's up to us to speak it. It's up to us to pray back to Him. We have to do that. We have to know what the Word says. We have to search the Scripture. And we have to find the Word. And we have to tell God. You know, God's Word is like hidden treasure. You know, it just is, you know, we have to search for it. A treasure you have to search. It's not just sitting up there. You know, you have to do some digging. And when we dig around in God's word, it's amazing what you can find, and it's amazing the revelation that will come to you. One morning I was reading the word, and this scripture just jumped out at me, and I can't remember exactly what I was facing, but it said something to the effect that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those that trouble you. Oh my, I jumped up off the bed. I said, yes, it's a righteous thing. I said, you heard that, God? So has been troubling me. Recompense tribulation.
That's good. That's good.
You know? But you see, I was able to pray that because it was in the Word. The enemy couldn't come and tell me later on, well, as a Christian, you know, you shouldn't be praying prayers like that. It's in God's Word. God said it. If God said it, I can say it.
Yeah.
You know? Because He'll come and try to, you know, make it, because He wants you to pray these pitiful prayers. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord. No, those days are over.
That's right.
You know, we're mature Christians. You know, it's time for us to pray tough prayers. You know, and put the devil in his place. You know, don't let him browbeat you into and guilt trip you into thinking, oh, you know, you're supposed to be nice, you know, when you pray. You're supposed to pray compassion. Yes, you do pray compassion and you do pray mercy and all that. But there's a time and a purpose for everything under the sun. It's not what Ecclesiastes said. Some situations, require warfare prayers. I know I must have ruffled his feathers lately, because I'm telling you, some things have been coming, you know, just out of the woods against us. But that's okay. I win anyway, because I'm more than a conqueror. You know, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And so a lot of times, you know, when I'm praying, I will ask God for mercy for some people. Well, everybody, actually. I will say, Lord, you know, I know you're a God of mercy and compassion, and so give this so-and-so a chance. Open the eyes of their understanding. Help them to see, because they're blind. And when people are blind, they can't see. You know, and, you know, I'll say, give them, put that desire within their hearts. Uh-huh. So, you know, that prayer in Colossians, Paul was praying that he told the Colossians that he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will, God's will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And, you know, I pray that too, because I don't have to think about it. I just pray. You know, that's what the good thing about praying God's word. You don't have to think about nothing.
That's right.
Just pray what the word says. But I'll also pray, Lord, if they're going to be rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked, and if they've sold their souls to Satan and they're bent on doing evil, then pluck them up. Scatter them to the wind. Let them be like chaff in the wind. Give them no peace. Let them not be able to sleep when they put their heads down. I mean, I pray those prayers. I said, I put them out to pasture like you did Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the one that was building all these, you know, he was doing all these, winning all these battles and stuff? And what happened? For 7 years, he lived like an animal out in the field. I pray. I said, Lord, let, you know, just like Nebuchadnezzar was put out to pasture until he recognized that you rule in the affairs of men, do the same thing with these people. Put them out there. Strip them of their power. Remove them from their platform. Silence their voice. You know, let nobody wants to listen to them. And I don't feel bad about praying that, because I did ask God to give them mercy and to open the eyes of their understanding, you know. So, yeah, you know, I said, Lord, why should we suffer? Because they're bent on doing evil. But that's God's word. It happened. It's not something that I just made up. And so, the next Bible, did I read that? In the same way, the promise that I make does not return to me void, having accomplished nothing. God's word accomplishes what he sends it to. No, it is realized as I desire and is fulfilled as I intend. Jeremiah 1:12, I will watch over my word to perform it. There it goes again. You know, if God says, this is one of my favorite scriptures. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised but he was wounded. Well, I'm personalizing it for my transgressions. You know, you can personalize the scripture. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I said, Lord, this is what you say right here. So based on your word, I'm claiming healing. I'm declaring myself healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, every fiber of my being, every muscle, every artery, every joint, my blood cells healed, my arteries healed, joints healed, organs healed, Lord, every system, every neurological system, circulatory system, digestive system, I am healed. And I just speak it out, you know, and I believe it, and I expect to be healed. Several years ago, I was backing my truck out the driveway to go someplace, and you know, back in those days, cars didn't have cameras and stuff, so you know, I had to look back, and I looked back and I felt this awful crook in my neck. It was very painful. Have you ever had a crook? That's not the most pleasant thing. You know, if you want to turn, you have to turn your entire body, and I was upset. I got mad when I felt that crook, and I remember saying, "Look here, crook. I don't have time for you today. I have places to go, people to see, and things to do. In the name of Jesus, be gone. And I was angry when I said it. You know, sometimes when we say things, we need to put some force behind our words, you know, because Satan, it seems like that's all he understands. Force. No, you can't play nice with him. And so I remember, you know, when I put the car in drive, I pressed on the gas so much and the truck spit off and dirt was, you know, I dug a hole or something. I mean, some dirt was flying up, you know, and I flew down the road. Thank God there were no cops where I live. And, you know, and I drove and I went, I paid our insurance and still had the crow. Well, I wasn't really thinking about it. But when I left the insurance company and, you know, I'm turning off of Victory Drive to come back into Phoenix City, once again, you know, I'm changing lanes. And, you know, sometimes people are in that dead spot, you know. So my husband taught me, always look over your shoulder. So I did like this. And there was no crook. It was gone. Boy, was I happy. You know, that crook heard me. And I told him, you know, that's how we have to do sometimes. We have to get fed up with attacks. Just get fed up and tell those things where to go, you know. And I did. Well, I didn't have a scripture, but I guess the spirit in which I said it, it obeyed me. It left. I don't know when it left, but it left. Praying, you know. God says he'll watch over his word to perform it. He's faithful. God is faithful. When we pray God's word back to him, he promised to perform it. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. All of God's promises, there's no maybe in there. There's no if in there. There's yea, yes, and amen. So be it. Praying scriptures is a strategy that works in the spirit realm. Satan cannot counteract our prayers because he cannot change what God's word says. He may try to make you think he can, but he can't. He may twist it a little, but he can't actually change it. God's word never changes. Scriptural prayer is it's a spiritual weapon that we can use to defeat every lie of the enemy. It's how we fight. Don't we sing a song? It's how we fight it's how we fight our battles. How does it go again? This is fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Yeah, this is how we fight with God's word. You know, the 2 Corinthians 10:4. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but this is the way the Holy Spirit led me. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, our weapons are not baseball bats and guns and, you know, and that stuff. They're spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. That's what we use. The word of God is a spiritual weapon. And you know, we need to become experts at using it. Just like Satan is an expert at twisting the word and, you know, and telling lies like he did to Eve, twisted the word, and look where we are today. Well, we need to take a page out of his book, but use it for good. Become an expert at God's word. You know, when those people who are into archery, you know, they just don't get up and shoot an arrow and hit bullseye. They practice, don't they?
That's right.
You know, we just had track and field championship, you know, a whole bunch of countries were here, and I look at those athletes and I'm like, Lord, I wish I could run a mile. I wish I could, you know, they're running a mile in a few seconds. Oh my gosh. You know, they didn't get like that overnight. While we were sleeping in our nice cozy beds, you know, underneath our nice cozy blanket, they were on the track and field, mm-hmm. practicing. you know, doing the same routine over and over, jumping over those hurdles, and they became an expert at it. And so now they're able to run a mile, you know, in a few minutes. It'll probably take me an hour. Well, actually, I think I could do better than that. When we lived in Hawaii, I used to walk every night, and I would do 4 miles in an hour. Yes, and I'm telling you, that was some workout. So, you know, we used our spiritual weapons, and we fire them. We put them like arrows, you know, in the bow and fire it at the enemy through prayer. Are you plagued by fear? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." So how do you pray this? You make it personal. I do not have a spirit of fear. I have power. I walk in love, and I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. You know, sometimes the stresses of life will make you feel like you're losing your mind. Uh-huh. You know, you feel like you're about to snap. You feel like, I can't look. Don't say nothing to me. You know, I'm about to lose it. But no, that's not what we confess. Uh-huh. We confess we have a sound mind, and we're not afraid. When we lived in Hawaii, back in the, I think it was in the, what year was it? It was in the 80s, yeah. My husband was active duty too, and he would go away to the field, always gone. It seems like every time I turned around, he was gone. And I wasn't used to being alone. You know, when I lived back at home, there was always someone, some family member in my house. My mom was always there. And so it seems like I would hear a pin drop. Any little thing, any crackle, you know, I would hear it and I would jump and I would get nervous. And I'm telling you, I used to be so fearful. The houses had louver windows, you know, louver windows. I know they're not, they're popping in the tropics. But I would get all the cans of grocery, you know, the peas and the carrots and stuff, and I would lay it, you know, on the windowsill so that if anyone tried to pull out a pane, a window pane, and come in, the cans would drop on the floor and I would hear something. And I would zigzag the furniture. I mean, I was terrible. And then I'd barricade myself in the bedroom and I'd push the nightstand up against the door with the TV on it. I'd make sure the bathroom door that connected the two bedrooms, I'd make sure it was locked. And I still couldn't sleep. I was so scared. I mean, you know, fear is not a good thing. It's terrible. It's torture. And I would lay on that bed, and I had a friend, I lost touch with her. I'd love to find her again. She was like an older sister. And she was so nice. She would talk to me on the phone. Back then there were no cell phones. She would talk to me on the phone until 1-2 o'clock in the morning. We're talking because I'm afraid to sleep. And one day the Lord spoke to me the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so I grabbed hold of it. I mean, I was desperate for some sleep. And you know, there was this cat. That cat must have hated me. This cat would come outside the windowsill and make this weird noise. You know how cats make that weird noise? They sound like babies crying. And I would jump, you know. And I'm like, oh my God, you know. And I tiptoe, you know, to the window to see, and there's that cat. And, you know, I go to the bathroom and get some water to splash in him, you know, make him run away. Sometimes there's two or three. And they would gather underneath that bedroom window. Now, you know, that was not no coincidence. That was the enemy, I believe, was sending those cats to torture me. But God gave me a weapon. He gave me 2 Timothy 1:7. And I was so desperate, I grabbed hold of it. And I started saying it. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And you know, that night I went to sleep and slept like a baby. I slept so sound, the world could have passed away and I probably wouldn't have known. When I woke up, I woke up to the sunshine streaming down in my face. And I looked around and I sat up and it was morning. I had slept. I spoke his word And it drove the spirit of fear away. God's word works. When I tell you it works because, you know, back in those days, you could say boo to me and I would jump. Not anymore. I'm a lot stronger. He says he will watch over his word to perform it. And God is faithful to his word. He will do what he says he will do. And we can trust God's word. We can depend upon it. We have to employ the word, though. We have to speak the word. We have to act the word. Sometimes we expect God to do everything for us. No. We have a part to play in our victory, don't we? Now, when two countries are going to war, you know, they just don't sit there and fire some missiles and stuff. They get dressed in their armor, their helmet and all that stuff, and their backpacks and their tanks, and they go to war. Well, we go to war, not in like they do, but we go to war by speaking God's word, by praying his word, by standing on his word, by believing his word, by expecting to see the word works in our lives. We need to become experts at shooting those spiritual arrows.
That's right.
And if we do, and when we do, we will be victorious. I trust this lesson has been a blessing.